Greetings.
And salutations.
Amen. Bob said earlier that we were to, and I'm going to paraphrase him now. He said earlier something about we got to go out there and show these people who Christ is. They're trying to find something, and they don't know what they're finding and looking for. And Scott was mentioning that too. And it's up to us to show them. Amen, everybody. And then I thought, praise God, they poor people, they ain't got a snowball's chance in hell of finding Jesus. Not if they got to look to you or the churches out there. Ain't going to happen without the power of God intervening somehow. I remember a story of a man. His name was Scott Zuanich. He was going through a hard time. He went to a church, one of them big mega churches. I think it was in Burlington, Vermont. One of them love churches, you know. Everything was love, love, love. He was really going through a hurting time. And he got up there to the church just before church started. And he broke down crying. And I don't remember whether he was in his car or out of his car. He was in his car. And as people were coming in the church, they all looked at him. They passed by and they looked at this man weeping in his car in this church of love. And not one person stopped and said, "May I help you?" Not one. Jesus said to the church, "You are the salt of the earth. Salt loses saltiness, good for nothing, but cast out, trodden under the foot of men." And I'm going to tell you right now, the church today is worthless. It's worthless. It's not worth stomping on. What did Jesus come to do? What did he come to do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to what? Piss on them. Use them. Abuse them. Mistreat them. By the way, somebody gets mad because I said piss on them. God said about something about him pissing on the wall, so deal with it. What did Jesus Christ come to do? He came that if it be possible to save the world, that those that believe in him might be saved. Yeah, if believing in Jesus doesn't save you, and believing on him does, how can they ever get to the believing on if they can't believe in the first place? And how can they believe in the first place if the church isn't being what God called it to be? Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto thee. Love one another as I've loved you." And again, he said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." That's the sum of the law. That's the sum of it all. So we have two things: forgiveness and love. And you can't have forgiveness if you don't have love. And you got to start by forgiving yourself. How can you forgive others if you cannot forgive yourself? We've all sinned, every one of us. We've all done things we're not happy about, we're not proud about. We've all done things that sometimes we'll think about and it'll give us a knot in our stomach or just, oh God, you know, well, why did I have to remember that? How could I be so stupid? We've all done those things. And if we can't do what God does for us, if we can't forgive ourselves and forget it like God does, and if we receive God's forgiveness, we will forget it. Then how can we forgive others? Can't do it. Church needs to get salt. It needs to get salty. And in order to get salty, the church has to turn itself over totally to the Lord. And it starts with you. And it starts with me. Because I am not the church. You are not the church. Together, we are the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And if we're going to walk as the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, the church in which God is going to do some great things with, then we have to forgive ourselves, forgive one another, and be ready to forgive those around us. Amen. I'm done. I thought I was done. But I got one thing to say. You see, I remember years ago, my sister Barbara was dating a man in a church. And the pastor made the man break off the engagement with Barbara because she wasn't worthy. Her mother was divorced. I remember a church where a man came in and wanted to join the church, and he had been there. He'd been given his tithes. He'd been working. Anytime anything needed to be done, he was the first one to volunteer. And one day he said he wanted to join the church. And they said, oh, but you can't. He said, why not? Well, because you're divorced. So many churches have conditions that you have to meet in order to join their fellowship. That's not what God called us to do. I'll tell you what. The Fisherman Miller Ministry and their churches or chapels, if you will, fellowships, they have one condition for you to join them. That you're a sinner. If you're not a sinner, we don't want you. You come to me and tell me you're not a sinner, I know right away you're lying. Because we're all sinners. In thought, word, or deed, or all of the above. Not a day goes by I would just say it was different, but it's not. We battle it, we fight it, we seek to serve God, and we seek to do that which is right. But I'm going to tell you right, unless you're capable of passing through the eye of a sewing needle, you are not going to go to heaven except God intervene. And that through Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's stand on that rock. And love one another. Forgive. In Jesus' name.